Hey, man. Be turning to Acts chapter 3 as we continue our contrast in the Word of God, showing the distinctions and contrast between the prophetic prophecy program and the mystery program. And we've done some things over the last 13 lessons about physical circumcision, spiritual circumcision, physical baptism, and spiritual baptism, numbers associated with Israel, numbers associated with body of Christ. All this has to do with rightly dividing the word of truth. And as you look at this very seriously and understanding some things so far, is the fact that God gave us some words. And God never changes, does he, guys? He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the way he deals with man is different. And when you share that with people and you start talking to people, it's easy to give them the, some Bible truths that may be able to set them in an understanding where they need to be in God's Word. Now, there's four types of men out there, right? There's natural man, they're babes, they're spiritual, and what else? Carnal. There you go. And each one of us at different levels in our life, in our spiritual life. So when we look at people and we start to talk to people about the Word of God, use the Word of God in a way that, as Paul would say, consider the things that I say, and the Lord will give you an understanding in how many things? All things. So we can understand what God says, and we don't have to worry about what he says. And one thing I really appreciate, the fact that we have God's Word in the English language for us, and its authority in all matters. And if you know the main theme of the whole Bible, it has to do with a throne, sitting on a throne over the entire universe. Now, who wants to control that throne? Okay, we know that. That's why there's a battle. There's a battle here on earth. There's a battle in the spiritual realm. And one day that's going to come in fruition and he's going to be defeated. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of people out there that's confused in their Bible. And they could be saved, but confused. They can be sincerely, but they can be sincerely wrong. So, you know, sometimes you have to be patient with people, but sometimes you're like, when are you going to get it? And you want to just shake them. I've been that way in a time or two in the past. I just like to shake you, just get it right. But anyway, we just got to say, let the Word of God work in those that believe. I told you to be turning to Acts chapter 3. And what we're looking at today, in the contrast in the prophetic program with Israel, atonement is yet future. Okay? This is what we're at. Atonement is yet future. Atonement means agreement, concord, reconciliation after enmity or controversy. So that's what atonement is. And a lot of people says at one moment, right? At one moment, that type of thing. The thing is that you've got to realize what Israel's got atonement and we've got atonement. I asked you to go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, who's speaking in Acts chapter 3? Peter. You also know he spoke in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, what a lot of people does, let's go over one time, he's talking, he says, verse 22 in Acts chapter 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and as ye yourself also know. So who's he talking to here? Israel. You men is Israel. You go over there, he goes on down. Many people talks about, and we'll go over this 100 times in our lifetime at least. When he tells them about Abraham, when he tells them about David, when he tells them about this, look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now a lot of people say, what shall we do to be saved? It don't say that, does it? It says, what shall we do? Now, he's talking to Israel at Pentecost. They're there for a reason. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people will say this is what you have to do to be saved. Okay, we also know what is Peter doing here? Not only reprimand, he's pricking with their heart, right? He's like, you with wicked hands crucified Jesus Christ. But he's also offering them something. This is something that never was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But remember, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't offered to them because Jesus had to do some things, right? He had to go to the cross and die. He had to be buried and rose again. He comes back to them. Now they are in the little flock. He's offering them the kingdom. Go to chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of who? Israel. This is Pentecostal present. Okay? This is what's going on right now. In verses chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, it's Pentecost pictured. This is what's going to happen in a picture of Pentecost. Lame's going to walk, right? They're going to do all this stuff. Here it's presented in chapter 3, verse 12, verses all the way down to chapter 4, verse 22. But we're not going to read that much, but I am going to read, he says, verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of who? Israel. Now, once again, who's he talking to? He's talking to the body of Christ because the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2, right? No, preacher. It did not start. This is a continuation of the kingdom program, the little flock. And he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are all witness. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know ye. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness and the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wroth that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Now he's doing what? He's lighting it down. You did it ignorantly. All through the Old Testament, Israel did some ignorant things. They should have known some things, but they also did it what? Ignorantly. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his holy prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So what does that tell you about? What does that tell you about the cross? Was it prophesied that Christ was coming and dying and was born and rose again? Yes. That was no mystery. That was no secret. But in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, there's no crosswork there. So he goes on and says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached in you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now let me ask you something. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Where's the atonement at? Now I've shared this in the past. I'll share it again. One New Year's we was out in Shorewood, out in Chicago, and they had a service, and this Haitian family came in there, believe it or not, and they were sitting there, and Deb asked me if I would talk to them a little bit. I said, sure. We was talking about some things, and I asked them, what do you trust, what do you trust to get to heaven? And she quoted Acts 2:38. I said, that's interesting, because 90% of the churches out there will go that way somehow, somewhere, and use Acts 2:38 as their believing verse to be saved. But where's the blood? Where's the atonement? Okay? So I said, let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And I read this verse, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I looked at the family. I said, according to this verse, you're still in your sins. Ain't been blotted out yet. And she went, what? Because when you show the Word of God and show what their atonement is and stuff, it's future. And I said, just hang on. There's some hope. We'll get that in a little bit. But the thing is where are their sins may be blotted out? When is it going to be blotted out? When the times of refreshing, when Jesus Christ comes back over here, that's when their sins going to be blotted out. So that's a future atonement. Don't be caught up in that. And people are, our loved ones are. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. You know, when you start sharing these things, a lot of people will look at you, that's what you said, because my pastor tells me something different. You know, you can use these passages to really keep you under control if you want them. So therefore, if you're going to be converted, when the times you got to stay under this law. You're going to do what I say. You with me? That's a controlling verses that you can say. You got to stay right here, because we're the church. We're going to tell you what to do. You can say anything you want to say, but look at verse 31. This is ages to come. 31, 32. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall sit the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Now, what did Acts 3:21 we just read talked about? Acts 3:21. I'll read it if you don't want to turn there. Acts 3:21. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. This is that foundation. But what is God going to do? God is going to atone them. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to come and sit with me, right? That's atonement over there. Otherwise, they couldn't get in. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So they're blind right now. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto who? Them. Who's the them there? Israel. When I shall take away what? their sins. I like this next verse. As concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your sake. So there's no spiritual Israel out there that the people say they are. See, you can be part of spiritual Israel because, look, they're enemies for the gospel's sake. They need to be saved today the same as everything. But what does it say in verse 26? And so all of Israel shall be saved. Now, who's all Israel? The believing Israel. Over here, when Peter went to those people and some believed, didn't he not say in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom? Who is that you there? The little flock. That's why he promised them to sit on 12 thrones over there. But all of Israel, when he comes back over here, all of Israel is going to be saved is the believing Israelites. There's still going to be some that's not going to believe. God's word and the gospel that he's got over there. See, you know how Satan tricks us in our minds and in our Bibles and all that stuff. The gospel that was preached right here, that was offered, that little flock did, and they became part of that. But there was also Jews that did not, right? So when God said, I give you 1 year, fig tree. That's a parable of fig tree. Fig tree is the nation Israel's religious system. Okay? 1 year to get all of Israel saved. Okay? What happens? Minister and share that gospel. Repent you with wicked hands. What shall we do? They was in Pentecost. So if you was a Jew, you heard it. And you come back. They fall. Paul picks up, he gets saved. They agreed that they would go to the circumcision. That saved Israel. Paul would go to the heathen. That's unsaved Israel and the Gentiles. Because what did we learn about circumcision last week? It's a heart issue. He took our heart and circumcised it. He baptized our spirit. He did that. We didn't. And everybody wants to jump in water, but they don't want to get circumcised again. That type of thing. So, you know, it's very serious. But the thing is, God, all of Israel will be saved. All of Israel that believes. If we have to believe, remember we looked at Romans, unto all and upon all that believe. It's unto all. Salvation today and then was to all. But you have to believe it. So there, this is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins. Hebrews 8:6 talks about that. So when's he going to take away their sins? Paul's talking about it right there, isn't he? Who wrote the book of Romans? What do we know about Romans 9, 10, 11? To the believing remnant. That's what he's talking about here. He's writing some things to them. Go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Verse 28 says, and it shall be Aaron's. Well, verse 26, and they shall take the is that the beast or breast? Breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part, and thou shalt sanctify the beast. Breast, thank you. Of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave wave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up, of the realm of the, was that concentrate? Even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron and his sons by statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. Verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and be, was that consecrated in them. And that their son that is a priest in his stead shall put on 7 days when he come into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seeth his flesh is in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread there is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherein the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof because they are holy. Now, what they was doing, what did it say? Atonement, that was what? Made. They sacrificed that animal. They put that blood for an atonement. And if all of the flesh of the consecration or of the bread remaineth to the morning, then thou shalt burn the remaining with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and his sons according to all the things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shall thou consecrate them. Verse 36. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made the atonement for it, and thou shalt atone it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar of most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be what? So they're making atonements back in time past to the Lord for the nation Israel, right? They had to do this. That was under the law, wasn't it? You had to do that. Go to Leviticus chapter 16. I think I looked up the other day, over 70 times the word atonement's in your King James Bible. And you can work your way through it and what the atonement is and all. But Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 23. Well, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands. This is, well, we could go way back, but I don't want to do that. Verse 18. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with the finger 7 times and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end to reconciling the holy place, the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and sin shall send him away by the hand of the foot of man unto the where? And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the what? wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments, and he put that which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he goes on, talks about down through there, he's making an atonement for the nation Israel, that goat's running out in Israel, all the iniquities and stuff. And I keep scratching my head, well, that happened every year. Every year they did that. Verse 23. Yeah, that's where we're at, 23. Verse 24. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offerings and burnt offerings of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt upon the altar. And he that let go the goat from the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in the water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make the atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and shall burn with fire their sins and their flesh and their dung. So he's doing away with all these sacrifices. He's making atonement for them, isn't he? So that's an annual day they did every year. Every year. So when you think about that future times past and ages to come, they got to make atonement over and over and over. Now, in contrast to that, in the body of Christ, we have atonement now. Go to chapter 5 of Romans. Chapter 5 of Romans. Romans chapter 5. What do we know about the first five books of Romans? What do you know about it? Remember? What does that deal with? Justification. Sanctification is 6, 7, 8. Justification. If you're justified inside of God, do you have to keep getting justified? Chapter 5, verse 1. The first 11 verses are very, very important to us believers. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing tribulations work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the Lord of God, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The time you trust Jesus Christ, what did he do with your heart? He circumcised it, and it says, and in our hearts the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For sacredly for righteous man will one die, that preadventured for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for what? For us. Much more than that. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have now received the... We have atonement right now, and the family from Haiti that I shared, I showed them this when I said, hey, there's good news. Now you can have atonement for your sins. You don't have to wait. You don't have to keep sacrificing things. We have it right now, because when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, He reconciled us. So you're no longer ungodly, but you're a child of God. You're no longer sinners, but a saint. You're no longer enemies, but an ambassador. So those first 11 verses are very, very important to us and our atonement and who we are. And that's some good news for people. Or should be. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and get Ephesians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You are what? Complete. Not incomplete. When Adam, when God took that bone, rib out of Adam, he was incomplete. But when he married, they got married, they became complete again. I've been incomplete for a lot of things in my life. And I only understand I am complete in Christ, and that's all that matters. You know what I mean? We can be incomplete at a job, we can be complete at finance, whatever the case may be, but it's complete in Him. In whom? Who is that whom? Christ. Also, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism. We looked at this before. Who's that with Him? Who's the with Him? No, buried with Him. Who's he talking about up there? Yeah, that's so if you underline with Him, above that should be Jesus. In baptism, wherein ye also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you some trespasses. All trespasses, blotting out the handwritten ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, not our cross. People says you got to bear that cross every day. You heard that. You got to carry that cross. You got to bear the cross. You got to do it. No, it's His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or a new moon or in the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. The things that's going on there is going to take place, or was a shadow. But what did he say? Blotting out this stuff. We have no handwritten ordinance against us. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 right quick. Ephesians chapter 2. There's a separation in chapter 2, verse 11, right? The times past, Gentiles in the flesh are called uncircumcision, and they had people called circumcision in the flesh, right? Who's the circumcision in the flesh? Israel. Who's the uncircumcision? The nations, the Gentiles. And we know there's a... there's a disadvantage there. Verse 13, but now in Jesus Christ, you who sometimes were far off made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's a spiritual wall there that kept us away from God. Spiritual wall. Then he says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. So there's a legal wall there. Not only you had a spiritual wall, you had a legal wall. Then he said, have abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body at the cross. You should underline that, because it's very, very important, because it's by the cross, having slain the enemy thereof. That's that physical wall. Y'all know that there was a wall around that temple out there and that forbid Gentiles to cross over. It meant death. My understanding is about a 4-foot wall. Just, you know, they could peek, but they couldn't cross that wall. So by the cross, we sing at the cross, at the cross. I keep saying this before. There was a guy sitting right here one time with a PhD. He could not get by that little word by. Because he kept saying, but it's at the cross. I understand what you're saying. But by that cross, we have all those spiritual laws, all those physical laws, all those legal laws gone by that instrument of the cross. And we only find that through Paul when we understand these things. And those no laws or commandments, ordinances, who put you under those things? And you start reading those things about, well, you know, Israel did this and Israel did that. Israel broke those things. And Israel at one time, praise God for them, and we have the record of them. They was at one time, there's no other nation in the world was better than them. They knew God was with them and what God would do for them. But when they went messing around with these other religions, that's what fornication is. And you look at us today, you better be very, very careful what you fornicate with. It's sad in the state we live in right now, not far from here. They're promoting the drag queen stuff. Churches are. And they're laying in the streets, and the churches are promoting that stuff. That's why I said, you got to guard your spiritual life. Because you think, well, God's in it. What do I say about the Bible? There's thousands of Bibles. You can find a Bible for anything you want to believe. And they sit up there and they just get desynthesized. Well, maybe God's love. He wants us to love everybody. Does He? He wants you to love everybody, right? But you don't promote that stuff. Israel did in the past, and they fail. They went in captivity. And when they went in captivity, there's certain ones of them did not obey them. Y'all know Daniel. You know the three Hebrew guys. They did not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's God. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, my understanding, respected that. You know what I mean? But the thing is, he didn't stop the religious system out there. And there's religions out there where there's, what do you call them, satanic religions or godly religions, and they won't line up with what God is doing in the Bible, and we're in bad shape right now. We're in bad shape. You know, I posted one thing about what George Washington once said. It's impossible to govern a nation without God and the Bible. That's what he said. So I posted on this site, and he goes, yeah, and he understood the First Amendment, you know, like freedom from religion, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. And I'm like, that's not what he's talking about, that you could have any religions you want. God and the Bible, and you better know what God you're serving, and you better know what Bible you're using. Because there's errors in the Bibles, and we talked about that in the past. But if you want to know about your atonement today, you can trust and relax and have faith in what Christ did at Calvary. And we should be thankful for that and know that the fact that it was all what He did for us, not what you and I can do. Because if you and I have if you and I have to do one thing outside that cross, we would mess it up. That's why when you talk to people, when people says, well, God didn't write that book. Yeah, He did. Yeah, He did. He spoke that book. Man put it down. And when it wasn't right, they had to make it right. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for things You've given us. as we think about who we are in Christ and the things that we've done, we are thankful that you covered that now. We don't have to wait for atonement. We don't have to wait for anything. And we thank you for that and the love that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.